Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Today I'm going to be speaking on Love is Kind. And if you haven't been around and you're not totally sure what our series is about, let me give you a little bit of background. This past Easter, our theme was This is Real Love, and it came out of the scripture in 1 John, let me read it for you. It says, God showed us how much he loved us by sending his son, or his one and only son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. So what does this love look like? And that is what we're going to be talking about this summer. And the description of love comes out of 1 Corinthians 13. This is what Paul writes. He says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So last week, Ryan spoke on love is patient, and so today we're going to address love is kind. And before we step into that, I would just like to pray. So if you could join me, that would be awesome. Lord, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you that we have an opportunity to come and be together as your family, as your children, and hear from your word, Lord. I pray that as we hear what you have to say to us, that it doesn't just come across as ideas or thoughts, Lord, but the power of your word will permeate in our hearts, God. That the truth of who you are and how much you love us will just be so real to us this morning. And that as we leave, we leave changed, and we leave wanting to live differently, not because of anything I said, but because of the power in your word and the power of your love, Lord. So we just give this up to you this morning, and we just ask your Holy Spirit to work. Amen. So as we move through this morning, I have a definition of kindness that we're going to have up on the slide behind me, just at the bottom, through every slide. So as we walk through this, we can kind of keep going to that definition. And that definition for kindness is this: recognizing the needs of others and taking steps to meet those needs. Recognizing the needs of others and taking steps to meet those needs. So as we talk about and think about how we can be kind, we need to remember that this kindness that we are called to begins with the kindness that God has shown us. And in Titus 3, we get a great description of what this kindness looks like. So I'm going to read that to you now, starting in verse 3. It says, once we, too, were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. God showed us an incredible kindness that we don't deserve, that we can't earn. It's just a gift. This kindness God showed us because he saw a need and he took steps to meet that need. He gave us his son. And in this scripture, it gives us a description of what life looks like before we experience this kindness from God and what it looks like after. Before, it describes life, our lives as foolish, disobedient, misled, slaves to lust and pleasures. A life full of evil, envy, and hate. enslaved to the desires of the flesh, keeping us from true freedom. That idea of being enslaved to sin. When we live like that, when we live for ourselves, we live in a way that we're trying our best to find our own freedom, find our own happiness, and we're doing whatever we want to do. But really, this freedom we think that we're going after is actually enslaving. And it's actually something where we have these chains tying us down. Because no matter what we do, we don't find that true freedom. And yes, how it's described in the scripture is great. And I can read it out to you and we can hear it. But I think there's power in story. And so I'm going to show you a video of part of a story of a man named Ryan Reese. He's a professional skateboarder. And his story, I think, is the perfect description of what this life before experiencing God's kindness looks like and what it looks after. So if you watch with me.
You want to know words that would describe my life, I would just say fun, crazy, and out of control. Wilding out. Partying, skateboarding, going to all different countries, surfing, snowboarding, Tonga, Fiji, met with the king of Fiji, working with a lot of different bands, slept with girls, got introduced to cocaine, started shooting heroin. A lot of girls from the Deftones, Limp Bizkit, sex addiction.
I can't think right now.
Acid and Hawaiian mushrooms. Every girl was out to burn me in 50,000 watts of sound system. Used them like pieces of meat for 8 hours straight. She said, I love you, I want to be with you, but I'm going to get an abortion. I was losing friends that were dying, putting ecstasy, heroin, and coke in syringes and shooting it while smoking crack. Start over. But I had the nice house. I had the motorcycles. I've literally done laps around the world, like, 3 to 4 times, and you know, sleep with as many girls as, you know, a lot of girls, and the drugs, nothing gets me off anymore. You know, I was empty. It's just nothing made me happy. Then I did a tour through Mexico, Costa Rica, and Panama City, and I just did cocaine the whole time. One of our team riders found me in my bed with cocaine all over my face and all over the counter, and they couldn't wake me up. They thought I OD'd. All I know is I woke up the next morning and they said, dude, we thought you were dead last night. And at that point, I just realized I gotta change my life. I went to my hotel room and I was by myself for the first time and sober for the first time in at least a month and a half to 2 months. And I was in Panama City at the Sheraton Hotel, and I just remember going, Jesus, if you're real, I need you to prove that you're real to me. And I remember this prayer my dad would say, just say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins, come into my life, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I said that prayer. I said, prove that you're real to me, because I see religion around me. I see my parents and these Christians, and I don't relate to them. And I remember going, well, okay, well, what can I do now? I said, I need to, like, read the Bible, right? And I start looking through the Panama drawers. There has to be a Bible in the hotel room. They have Bibles all over the world. I'd always see them. And I'd always be like, ugh, you know? I open it up. There's a blue Bible there. It's a Gideon Bible. Pull it out. I start reading it. I was waiting for this supernatural experience. You know, I've taken a lot of drugs. I've seen a lot of stuff. And I thought that God was going to show up in his heavenly glory with angels and whatnot. But that didn't happen. So I got the Bible, I stole it from the hotel, I put it in my backpack, got on the plane, and I was surrounded by all the skate team, and they were looking at me, and they must have been tripping, because they're like, this guy, he lives his life like a pirate. And I just remember looking at him saying, you know what? If God's real, I'm gonna find him, because he's in this book. This is God's word. So I just read that Bible, that Gideon Bible, for 6 hours straight, all the way to LAX, and I remember I landed, and I just had peace in my life for the first time in my life, I think. I just felt peace.
Well, if anyone ever steals your Bible, they probably need it. what a powerful description and picture of that life before. He lived a life where he had everything. He did everything. He experienced it all. And what did he say? I felt empty. I just couldn't be happy. And that's exactly the kind of life that we are led into when we become slaves to those things and when we live for ourselves. But, just like that scripture says, because of Christ Jesus, we can have freedom and those chains can be broken and we can live differently. It says that our sins are washed away. We have new life, eternal life, a freedom from the slavery to sin. And what I love is at the very end of that clip, he says, for the first time ever in my life, I experience peace. And that peace is that freedom. Powerful, powerful stuff. So this freedom, this mercy, this forgiveness, this ultimate act of kindness that God has shown us is life-changing. It is powerful. And if you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. You'll never experience anything else like it. And when we get this kindness from God, when he shows us this kindness, does it not make sense for us to show that same kindness to others? And that's why it begins with us understanding and experiencing God's kindness. If we are to be kind to others, we need that first. So we are called to be kind to each other. Within Christian community, as brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, we are called to be kind to each other. And in Colossians 3, Paul describes what that looks like, what that community looks like. He says in verse 12, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." So if preceding this piece of scripture, Paul talks about how we have a new life in Christ and how we put to death those old ways of living. And so we experience God's kindness. We have a new life in him. We put to death those old ways, and now we live like this. And he gives us this description. And one of those things is being kind. And within Christian community, there are so many ways for us to show kindness. And if we look back to that definition, kindness is looking for needs, finding those needs, and taking steps to meet those needs. And we are called together as a family to, when we gather together, when we're in community together, to look for other people's needs and try to meet those needs. One thing I love that Luke says a lot from up here when he's speaking is he reminds us that our church is not a grocery store. It's a community garden. And when we gather together, it cannot be about us just showing up and going, what can you give me? What can you do for me? How can you meet my needs? Yes, it's important that our needs are met, but it's the mindset and the heart set we need to have that when we gather together, that we are looking to each other's needs, that we are looking to serve each other and help each other and sacrifice for each other. And I really believe that Living Waters does a fantastic job at this. But we need to be on guard and we need to be careful because it's a slippery slope. It's easy for us to get comfortable and it's easy for us as we grow to turn into a consumer community, but it can't be that. We need to continue to come together and think of each other and find ways that we can be kind to each other and meet each other's needs. And one thing I love is that we are really great at being kind in our welcoming, and I want us to continue to do that because welcome is powerful. There's many people who come here and join us here as a community who are feeling lonely, who are feeling left out, as an outcast, maybe that they don't fit in anywhere. And when they walk in these doors and when they gather with us in life groups, if we can be kind to them in a way where we're welcoming them, we're saying, you fit with us, you're welcome here. You come be a part of us and what we're doing. When we look beyond ourselves and we're kind to others, there's power in that. And we see a healthy Christian community grow through that. I got to experience that in a really neat way a few weeks ago. There was a young single mom who reached out to me. I help oversee our young adults here at the church, and she's like, I'm moving in a couple days. I need some young, strong people to help me move a bunch of stuff. I'm all on my own, and I don't know what to do. And me being my cynical self thought, oh, okay, it's in a couple days. These are young adults we're talking about. You're asking me then to commit to something on a Saturday to go do this. And I was so wrong. I reached out and I said, here's a need. And there was two young men who stepped up and they said, I'll give my Saturday and I'll go help out with this. And I spoke with the woman the next day at church on the Sunday. And she came up to me. She's like, Reuben, thank you so much. Those two young guys showed up early Saturday morning with a pickup truck and just their hands to work, and they were amazing. They lifted all the heavy stuff. They totally emptied out this big storage unit that I had, and they moved it all to my new place. They never complained, and they just did it for me, and it was amazing. And she said, when they finished that storage unit, I said to them, I still have two more units that need to be moved. And what did they say? They said, okay, here's our number. When you need to move those other units, give us a call, and we'll show up, and we'll do the same thing for you. And that is so cool. And when I hear stories, like, I'm like, that's it. That's the kindness we're talking about. It's powerful. And it really starts with them thinking of someone else, looking for those needs, and taking steps to meet those needs. And so we are called to live that way together. But we are also very much called to be kind to others outside of here. And we are called to be kind to those who we don't really like, or who we don't really get along with that well, or even people we don't even know, just strangers in our everyday. And it's hard. It's pretty easy for us to be kind to each other because we're all friends, we're all chummy around here, we have community time. But it's hard to be kind to those who aren't kind to us, those who we do not get along with very well and rub the wrong way. But Jesus Christ gives us an incredible description of what that kindness looks like in Luke 6. And so let me read that for you. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. For He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. We are to be kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. These are the hardest people for us to be kind to, but Jesus calls us to it. And it is very countercultural. It is very against what our world says should be normal, but we are called to that. And that takes taking steps, that takes sacrificing, swallowing our pride. It takes taking the high road in situations when you've been wronged. You haven't even done anything wrong, but someone's treated you in a way where you still need to take that high road. Because if we allow ourselves to stoop down to their level, we just start to live like them and treat them like they're treating us. But we are called to treat others as we ourselves want to be treated. And I know we all want to be treated with kindness and love. Loving those people are the hardest to love because of the way they treat us. But we can do it. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. And as I was preparing for this morning to share with you guys, when there's a certain topic on your mind a lot and you're thinking about it a lot, certain things really jump out at you a little bit more. And so when I probably should have been preparing for this, I was wasting my time on Facebook. And I was scrolling through all these statuses and there was a little diamond in the rough. If you think of Facebook and the statuses that are on there, I got lucky and I saw one, and it was from a man in our church who posted this. It says, "Thanks to whoever slashed one of my tires overnight yesterday. I pray you experience the immeasurable kindness and goodness of God's love for you this week." And how cool is that? I saw that. I was like, ah, that's it right there. It's just not in us. It's not natural for us to wake up one morning, walk to a car, and see our car tire slash and go, "Ooh, I love that person who did that. I want to be so kind to them and treat them great and wish good things for them this week." That is not our reaction. It is definitely not a natural thing. But that right there is a picture of how we should react. And it's hard, but with God's help, we can do that. We can show that kindness even to those who have done something the furthest from being kind to us. We need to catch ourselves in those moments and think about how God's been kind to us and how we can be kind to others. A couple days ago, me and my family were in Victoria. We were driving on this road, and they were doing construction on the road, and so it was moving from one lane to two. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is pretty obvious for all the drivers on the road that I need to merge into the other lane, and we should all be nice and let each other in. And so I'm driving along, I shoulder check, you know, hands on 10 and 2, perfect driver I am. Signal, and I start to slowly cruise over because there's a guy kind of behind me there thinking he sees me, and he just guns it and goes ahead of me. And he's in a pickup truck, always a pickup truck. Sorry to those of you who drive pickup trucks. And he guns it right ahead of me, and I have to like swerve and slam on the brakes just before my road ends, and then slip in behind him, and I was not happy. And what did I do? I laid on the horn, like a long one, you know, the right? Like, you think the longer it goes, the more they're going to notice it, right? And, you know, I didn't just stop at one honk. I think, you know, honking, it's how we communicate in our vehicles. I think maybe Jesus would have even honked once if he was in this situation, just to say, "Hey, look what you did to me." But no, I didn't stop there. I went for another and a little bit of a you know, just to butter it on, right? And they definitely heard me by then. And I'm thinking, I feel way better after that, you know. Let them know how angry I am. And then in that moment, it was a man and a woman, and there was no back cab on it, so you could see them right through the back of the truck cab. And they kind of turn around and kind of do this, like, this wave in the space, like, "Sorry," like, you know, "Didn't see you there, didn't realize the road was ending." And they actually felt bad about it. And they're not supposed to feel bad, right? And it was in that moment where I was like, oh, it hit me. I'm like, oh, I totally could have reacted differently there. That was not how I am supposed to react or I'm called to react. I did not show God's kindness. I did not show any kind of mercy there or grace. And it's funny in those moments where, especially when you're preparing for something like this, it's like, oh, I failed at exactly what I'm supposed to be talking about. But we work on it. And we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the strength that we need. And the amazing thing about all of this, and what I love about all of this, is that where we began at Easter in 1 John 4, in verse 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." So basically, if we are kind to others the way God is kind to us, they get to see God in that kindness. They get to see God in that kindness. And we know that this kind of kindness is different. It will stand out. And how cool is it that we have an opportunity to live and love people in a way that it stands out. And people actually get to see God in the way that we live. When we treat people in this way, they get to experience God. And they get to experience his kindness. This is real love. So where do we take this? How can we practically apply this in our lives? I could stand up here And I could say, you know, help the little old lady walk across the street or bag the guy's groceries at the grocery store or pay for the person's Starbucks in the line behind you. If it's ever me behind you, feel free to do that still for sure. And those are all good things. But I think really what it begins with our hearts. It begins with our mindsets, us changing our mindset to how we are supposed to live and thinking differently and asking the Holy Spirit to help us do that, to renew our minds so that when we get into those situations, when we get cut off by that guy on the road, our reaction is different. And yes, we're all in a work in progress. I'm definitely a work in progress. But it's changing that mindset. And so first it begins with us experiencing God's kindness. So if you are here with us this morning and you have not experienced this kindness we're talking about, you have not experienced that forgiveness and that grace and that mercy, and you are living in a life where you're just not finding happiness, you're feeling enslaved and you're feeling like you're just not going anywhere, there is freedom through Jesus Christ. And you can experience that gift. You don't have to do anything. It's a gift. You can't earn it. God has decided to give that to us. And so if you are here this morning, I encourage you to take that step and experience and accept that kindness from him. Some of us may even be here who have before, but it's been a long time. And we've forgotten really what his kindness is all about and the power about that. Pursue Jesus and ask God to remind you of the power of his kindness, because it has to begin with him. We can't do any of this stuff. It's a waste if it doesn't begin with us experiencing his kindness first. And so there are a few practical things we can do. I think, first of all, it's good if we put ourselves in others' shoes, right? Christ says, love others as you want to be loved yourself. Sometimes we're so focused on our own situation, on where we're at, and what's happening to us, that we forget that the other person and how they're treating us, there's got to be a reason for that. The guy who slashed a tire, there's got to be a reason why he's acting out that way. Put ourselves in their shoes. What are they going through? A lot of times we find ourselves in customer service experiences, let's just call it that, where whether we're being waited on or we're trying to return an item or something like that, we're at a restaurant and the waiter's not doing their job, they're missing things, and we sit there and we so easily can get this attitude of entitlement, like I should be treated better this way, my food should be right, and we think and we believe and tell ourselves that we have the right to be rude to this person because they're not doing their job and they're not treating me the way that they're supposed to. But we don't have that right. We are called to show mercy instead of being rude. Put yourselves in their shoes. What if that waiter or that waitress had a terrible morning, or their boss was treating them terribly, or they got some bad news at home about their family, and they still had to show up to work that day? We don't know where people are coming from. I assume the worst of the truck driver who cut me off, but they actually were very sorry because they didn't mean to. We can't assume the worst. We need to put ourselves in their shoes. We also can show empathy and not apathy. Apathy is a killer. It's so easy for us to be apathetic. And I thought probably the best way for me to get this point across to all of us this morning would be to show you a clip from one of the most apathetic people I know, and that's Jerry Seinfeld. So enjoy.
Don't you want? Come on!
That's a shame. All right, I'm going to call
NBC. Officer! He's stealing my car! Officer, I was carjacked. I was held up at gunpoint. He took my wallet, everything.
Okay, thanks anyway. They can't get another plane.
All right, what's wrong with the plane we got? They're just checking it out.
No. Not getting on there. Come on, let's get something to eat here in Sticksville.
All right. Hold it right there.
What?
You're under arrest.
Under arrest? What for?
Article 223-7 of the Latham County Penal Code.
What? No, we didn't do anything.
That's exactly right. The law requires you to help or assist anyone in danger as long as it's reasonable to do so.
I never heard of that.
It's new. It's called the Good Samaritan Law. Let's go.
Good Samaritan Law, are they crazy?
Why would we want to help somebody?
I know.
That's what nuns and Red Cross workers are for.
I love that line. Why would we want to help somebody? That's what nuns and Red Cross workers are for. And that's exactly the attitude. right? When the cop went to go arrest them, we didn't do anything. That's exactly it. Is, you know, sometimes we think that it's not being unkind to do nothing, right? But we are called to do something. We can't just sit back and watch. We can't have the attitude of, well, that's someone else's job, or someone else will help them, or I was kind yesterday, so it's someone else's turn to be kind today. That cannot be the attitude. We need to move from apathy to empathy. Because with empathy, we think about the other person's feelings and what they're going through and what they're facing, and our hearts break for them, and we're moved to take steps to help them and to help meet their needs. We need to slow down and look beyond ourselves. We live busy, busy lives. We go, 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 go. And we're always have our head down. We can so easily fall into just thinking about what I need to do, where I need to go, who I need to meet with, and kind of a me attitude in our busyness. And we need to slow down. We need to look up and look around us and see what those needs around us are and do something about that. We need to look beyond ourselves. It's so easy to become self-absorbed, so easy even to be kind for our own gain. It's not about getting noticed or getting accolades. Being kind isn't about making ourselves feel good or even getting something on our resume to show that we helped someone. We need to check our hearts. Are we kind when no one's looking? Slow down. Look beyond ourselves. And lastly, I think that we can definitely work on our kindness muscle. I think we can work out our kindness muscle, something I'm obviously working on still. Kindness, I think, can be very much like a muscle where we have to train ourselves. We need to practice it. We need to be intentional and think about it a lot. So when we get into those situations, when we have a chance to either be rude or be kind, our automatic reaction is kindness. Because for so long, before we experience that kindness from God, it is all about us. And our reaction to situation is going to be what's best for me, what will make me feel best, and it's all about me. And we need to train that kindness muscle so when we hit those situations, we think beyond ourselves. And we think about others and how we can show that kindness to others that God has shown us. Because really, God doesn't have to show us that kindness, the way that we've treated him, the way that we've lived. He chooses to do that. And in those situations, we are called to react the same. And so let's work out our kindness muscle. So these are all, you know, a few things that we can take with us. But ultimately, it comes down to us experiencing God's kindness and being moved and having the desire to show that same kindness to others. So let's be a community that does that. Let's be a community that's known for our kindness. Let's be people who live in a way where others see God because of the way that we love and the way that we treat others. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time together, God. We thank you for your word and the power of your gospel. We thank you for your son and what he's done for us and the freedom and the life that we get to experience through the kindness that you've shown us, Lord. I pray for anyone here this morning who hasn't experienced that kindness or needs to be reminded of the power of your kindness, God. I pray that they will take that step to allow you to come into their lives and bring change and bring freedom and break those chains that are holding them down so that they can live a new life for you. And so they have the opportunity to share that same kindness with others. God, for those of us who have experienced that, Lord, I pray that you give us the strength that we need, that you give us the ability that we need, that in those moments when we need to be kind, that we can do that, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bring renewal of our minds, God. We pray that you bring a transformation in our hearts so that as we live our daily lives, God, that we will show a love that is kind, that people will desire to know you through that. We thank you so much, God, for your love, for your kindness. We ask you to do that work in our hearts today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.